Rob Carley, welcome to Sunday Night at the TSO.
Thank you for having me.
Now, this is your first time on the show, so we've got some get-to-know-you questions. Ready?
For sure.
What's your go-to drink when you're out?
I'm going to say a Negroni. How's that?
Oh, nice choice.
This time of year, it's, you know, it's still a little chilly, and I like a Negroni.
Okay. What's your favorite film or TV score?
Wow, these are tough questions. I'm going to say, you know, everyone loves John Williams, and I just saw the TSO perform Superman on the weekend, and I was reminded about, you know, the amount of work he's done. And I'm not going to say one of his big scores, but one of the ones that has always stuck with me is Catch Me If You Can, which features the alto saxophone prominently, which is an instrument I happen to play. So maybe that's maybe currently one of my favorite scores.
Yeah. Is there a particular song or piece that you're really into these days?
There is. You know, I just bought tickets to see the Boston Symphony perform Turangalila, the Messiaen piece, which the Toronto Symphony performed last year and I saw for the first time. And it was like, wow, this is a pretty heavy piece. And I really got into the piece. And I know the TS just came out with a recording, which I'm really enjoying as well. So right now it's all Messiaen all the time.
Wow. That is intense.
It's an intense piece. You just can't, you know, it's not like light driving music. I'll say that.
No, you could crash your car.
you could crash your car.
Which is your favorite Murdoch Mysteries character?
I don't know. I think I really do adore them all, but I think I've got a soft spot for Brackenreed. I think he's often, he's got a real range. So I like that. He's often the comic foil, but he also can play a serious character too. And I like his range.
And what's your favorite part of Toronto and why?
I like these get to know you questions. There's so much of Toronto I love. I really love the Don Valley these days. I bought a mountain bike a couple of years ago and you really can't exhaust it. It's just, there's so much to see. And now I'm really looking forward to seeing what they're doing with the Don River, you know, the new redevelopment at the mouth of the river. But, you know, I'm thinking more up north of Bloor Street, and as you get into the woods, it's really quite lovely up there. So I really like that part of Toronto.
Well, let's get to know a bit about your musical background. When I first met you, you were a classical saxophone player. How does a classical saxophone player find himself film scoring?
That's a good question. I think I've always wanted to do film scoring. And, you know, I've composed music for a long, long time and studied composition. Maybe, ironically, the saxophone was a way to get by.
Oh.
But, I mean, it's always been an interest of mine. I always loved film, and I've always loved the marriage of music and film together. So every path to get to become a film composer is different for every composer, I think. But there is something common in that is, you know, a lot of young composers work as an apprentice. And I did that very thing after we first met, Kathleen, like in university. After university, I would, just be an assistant, an apprentice for years, really, and learn the ropes. And then slowly people began to trust me with their own films and projects. So that's kind of the trajectory there.
Murdoch Mysteries is 17 seasons long. Have you been in on that from the beginning?
Yeah, I started in the very first season. They actually had done a few sort of made-for-TV movies with Maureen Jennings' original characters as inspiration. And that was a little darker, and it was a little bit earlier, I think about maybe 4 years or 5 years before the season began. It stretches back a long time, a couple of decades for me, and it's really been a huge part of my life.
I'm so curious about the creative process with something like this, you know, from the beginning or, of course, as the show develops. I'm sure things evolve, but how do you start with something like this? How do you start applying music to a TV series?
That's a great question. I mean, the hardest part is getting started, you know, coming up with a sound palette, sort of a sonic universe that you're going to live in for a few years. And, you know, you want to establish that. And so for me, I look back, the season began in the year 1895 in Toronto. And so I started looking at what's the sound of that. And I got inspired a little bit by kind of the Industrial Revolution and a bit of it wasn't really called steampunk at the time, but the idea of metals and sort of factory sounds. I was kind of using a little bit of that to drive rhythm. And I think a lot of the score, at least in the earlier parts of the show, were really rhythmically driven by those kinds of elements. And I would experiment with putting them, putting bells and celestes and different kind of metal sounds through ring modulators or delays to try to give it, I don't know, a unique kind of sound. And then, you know, at first the producers were like, we really don't want strings, because I'd done a lot of string quartet writing for the original series, and they really wanted to deviate from what they had done. They wanted to create something fresh and new. And so I was really shying away from the strings, but they slowly just became part of the palette again. And I really rely heavily on kind of a bit of an orchestral sound married with that sort of steampunk aesthetic, those sort of metal sounds and clangs and smashes, crashes, all the goodies.
Now, at 17 seasons, this is a very much an enduring show. What is it, do you think, that keeps audiences with it year after year?
Well, that's interesting. I've often wondered that. I think it's partly its appeal is that it's kind of for all ages. I mean, it can really be enjoyed by a family. That's sort of it's cross-generational. There's not a lot of violence in the show. So I remember once traveling in France where the show is very popular, and I was speaking with someone there, and they said, well, there's no guns on the show. I mean, there, occasionally you'll see a gun on the show, but it doesn't celebrate gun culture like a lot of modern shows would, because it just wasn't part of the culture back in, you know, the turn of the century. And I think another reason is that because it's episodic, a lot of shows, you know, nowadays, they're wonderfully crafted over a long arc, and you really kind of have to be with it. You just can't just drop in at season five of some shows. But our show, I feel you can. I mean, you can. It's a mystery. It wraps up within the hour, so it doesn't take a lot of investment to enjoy the show. So I think that's part of the appeal as well.
The TSO has been partnering with Murdoch Mysteries for the last few years. What does this partnership mean to both brands?
Well, I think it's kind of an exciting opportunity. I mean, it's something that Christina Jennings, who is the chairperson and CEO of Shaftesbury, the company that produces Murdoch, she saw this as a potential a few years ago, really, seeing there was not only a crossover in the audiences potentially, but also bringing a television show to a symphonic audience is, I think, pretty unprecedented. And, you know, she's always been a very ambitious woman and not afraid to take some risks and try new things. And so it really was born out of that desire to see what could be done with bringing something to a concert audience. And it really started during the pandemic when we did a few small concerts on the set of Murdoch with just a small ensemble due to restrictions in terms of numbers and gathering. Now, they were successful. They were filmed. They weren't obviously performed live. And then that led to our first experiment last year, where we did a Murdoch in concert a year ago. And now, again, another one this year, which is really, really exciting.
What can audiences expect from the score for this one?
It was interesting. The script called for me to use a very specific set of notes in the score. And I won't tell you why that is, but there was, you know, I had some parameters I had to work with, which led me into, you know, exploring the way in which different composers have used names, for example, for inspiration, or sounds in their environment for inspiration, because the score does deal with those kinds of elements. You know, how do composers create music, I guess, is the big question. And it's addressed in the script by illustrating how these various composers, all of whom play different instruments in their environments, they get inspired by rhythm or the sound of a train or the sound of a squeak and how that becomes a melody. And that was very kind of interesting for me, because normally I'm writing underscore. I'm just trying to support what's happening on screen, and we're not really drawing attention to the music. But in this particular episode, it's really about trying to show that transition from a sound into an idea into music. So we explore that in the script and in the show.
For this year's iteration, TSO audiences will get to see never-before-seen episode called Rhapsody in Blood. I guess you can't give too much away, but what can you tell us about this?
Yeah, I should mention that this idea of doing something brand new is really where the partnership begins, because, you know, it's possible that we would come into a city and do a presentation of an episode with the orchestra in that community. And that's wonderful. But the idea behind the TSO partnership is that they really are purpose-built for the TS. You know, last year's episode was about the founding of the Toronto Symphony. And this year is about a group of five composers all vying for a coveted prize, a composing prize, sponsored by the TSO, the prize of which being having your piece performed by the orchestra. I can't give too much away. There's a murder, I can tell you that.
And then there's, you don't say.
And then there's a you know, there's a mystery around who was murdered or how that person was murdered. Oh. And it's solved by the end. All within 45 minutes, everyone will know that all will be revealed.
Now, I wonder, it must be nice for you to collaborate with the TSO because you have a bit of a relationship with that orchestra, no?
Yeah. You know, I've known the orchestra for a long, long time. I met my wife playing with the orchestra back in the 90s. As you mentioned earlier, I was a freelance classical saxophone player. And there happened to be a year where there was a lot of saxophone. And I've had lots of opportunity to tour with the orchestra and got to know them really well and obviously attend a lot of concerts. And so it was kind of like worlds colliding for me because the TV and film world, where I work most of my time, I spend most of my time working here, the world of Shaftesbury, for example, or Christina Jennings, and then having them connect with the Toronto Symphony was just a really unique and wonderful marriage for me because, you know, like I say, two different worlds were colliding. And it's nice to see, you know, people that I have performed with performing my music. Last week, we did a lot of recording for this particular episode, because bear in mind, this episode is also going to broadcast, not just being presented exclusively on stage. Its premiere will be on stage, but then it will subsequently be broadcast in a slightly different form with a 90-piece orchestra on stage a few days later. But to make that broadcast, we need to record the players. So it was nice to have members of the Toronto Symphony here to record. And also, it's their way of rehearsing, I guess, for the big show, because they get to try the music out first.
What's next for Murdoch? Will it be more collaborations with the TSO, do you think?
Well, I hope so. I think audiences really enjoy it. It's, I think, fun for the players. At least they say that to me. I mean, maybe they're just... They don't want to offend, but it's a very unique, I mean, I can't think of another television show which the score is performed by orchestra in front of an audience and live, for, you know, for a premiere. It's a really rare, unique opportunity, and I feel very grateful to be able to do that. So I hope that we get to do more. The music has always been a big part of this show, not on screen, but just in terms of the amount of music we create every week and the emphasis on the music. So to that end, one of the screenwriters, whose name is Paul Aiken, has been working on a musical. And so that's coming out in a few more weeks, which is quite exciting as well. We're working on that right as we speak. It's very different, again, for a television show to have the singers break into song. Who knows, maybe we'll bring it to stage and we'll present songs with the TSO next year from the musical. Who knows? But I hope we can continue this collaboration. It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of work, but it's really, really rewarding. And to hear your music performed by such a world-class orchestra is a huge joy to me, and I'm just really grateful for the opportunity.
No doubt. Rob Carley, thank you so much for joining us, and all the best for the premiere presentation of Rhapsody in Blood.
Thank you so much for having me.